Hey, my friends, welcome. Good morning, or good afternoon if you're listening to this in the afternoon, not live. Hope you guys have a fantastic day. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I'm trying to get my cap on here. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. My right eye is a little bit funky on me today. I think I must have...
Take your eyesight?
Yeah, no, it's not the eye itself. It's the outside of the eye.
Outside of the eye?
Yeah, I think I got a little bit of irritation
sure?
on it.
Okay. Hope feels better. Need some eye drops?
I've been using them.
Hope you guys are staying strong and healthy this morning. And be sure to follow us on the BrowerShow.com podcast with all your updated needs and information and news. And sign up right here. Be the first to know. Name, email, Brower Show, and Health Master sent right to your inbox every single day. And I had to laugh this morning. I've gotten multiple emails.
Me too.
Multiple emails from customers and listeners on our little bit we did the other day on serving.
And just being a waiter or waitress.
Being a waiter, yeah, serving tables. I was a waiter for about a year and a half at Steak and Shake. But I actually had to get cross-trained. The entire store. I never told you this. I could run Steak and Shake from front to back, management, inventory, burgers, shakes, everything. Because a lot of times I would work the late night shift, which they were open 24/7 back in the day, if you guys remember that. And what's ironic is a couple of the people in the emails, they told me that they used to also have arguments with other servers on who did not want to take the Sunday afternoon shift because everybody that came through after church were the biggest cheapskates they ever waited on. Why do I keep hearing this, guys? Do better. If you're going to eat dinner after church or eat lunch after church, don't be that guy. If you don't want to spend any money on a tip on a good server, just eat at home. Make some chicken or rice. Be done with it. I'll be honest with you. The best shift that I can make the most money on were the 2 a.m. when all the drunks came in after the bar. I'm not joking. As bad as I don't want to have to say that, but they come in. They're really funny. They're really messy. But what happened is they're like a tin top.
Yeah.
When you get done, everybody had extra like dollars and fives from the bar. So everybody would throw in like $5-$10 a piece on tips at the end. So you'd have like a tin top. You end up like a $50-$60 tip at the end of the night. And they'd only have like a $70-$80 bill, and they never paid attention.
They're too drunk to notice.
So you get these tables, and all of a sudden you make like $200-$300 on an overnight shift with everybody coming in from the bar. And I was like, all right. Then Sunday morning comes, and you work like 6 hours. You go home with like $22. You're like, oh, this is fun. This is fun. I'm definitely staying in college. I know a lot of people, though. Certain restaurants, you can make a lot of money serving. I mean, I knew a girl that basically she had her MBA. She was still serving a real nice restaurant. She made a lot more money than she could work in the corporate world.
I remember her. She's making around $60,000 or $70,000.
Yeah.
Had
peak shifts, had all of it dialed in.
Did Trump ever pass the no taxes on tips?
Yeah, that was that big, beautiful bill.
So he did it.
Yeah, that was. But you know what? There's so much fodder in that. We'll get taxed somewhere else on something. That's the problem with it.
Oh, by the way, Israel just attacked Syria again. Well, no, they basically overthrew Syria.
That was a rough segue.
Yeah, terrible segue. I've been dealing with that all morning, thinking about that. And then now they got this radical Muslim regime in there, so they don't like them either. They're attacking them again.
You know, I don't think anybody, if you haven't come to this conclusion yet, those two factions in the Middle East are never going to get along. I think everybody just needs to kind of accept that, and if they want to just blow each other up.
I think what they should have done is when they started Israel over again, they should have just taken the island of Madagascar.
Madagascar?
It's off the coast of Africa.
Is it a nice
beautiful
island?
Oh, yeah, nice, yeah. And that way they could have just been there and done whatever they wanted to do. They had a barrier.
Not bothered.
They'd been on the island, so they'd had a buffer around them.
Yeah.
Kind of like the United States has the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
So it makes it a lot safer, and they could do whatever they wanted to do. Rothschilds could have had that island.
It's called a Rothschild Inc. Island.
Well, yeah. But,
Rothschild
know,
or us.
Everybody knows that Israel's the fiefdom of Rothschild. It's a non-extradition country where all these crazy people go. And then now we hear Ghislaine Maxwell say that Jeffrey Epstein's over there running his little show still.
I saw this. I wasn't sure. I need to verify it. Was she trying to testify in front of Congress? They blocked her on this?
Republicans blocked her. And it was so funny with me yesterday. Old Mancow said, well, you know, the Democrats, they're saying now the Republicans blocked them. And the Democrats could have had her testify, too.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to have it. Nobody wants her to testify.
Everybody knows what she's going to say.
Now, this is really Ghislaine Maxwell in jail.
Yeah.
It's really her. She better get a good life insurance policy.
Yeah.
Because she is blowing some smoke right now. And she's right, though. She wants a pardon from Trump. Like she says, if there's nothing here and there's nothing there and there's nothing anywhere, you know, why am I in jail?
Nobody got trafficked to nobody. What am I here for?
She says she wishes she never would have met him and that she'd have gone back to Europe, you know, like 25 years ago, which I can't say that I blame her for that.
This is interesting. RFK Jr. says he is not declaring an emergency over measles. You know, there's been like a couple hundred cases in the entire United States. The CDC goes, we declare state of emergency. Everybody needs to get the MMR shot. Well, why? I mean, million-dollar question. He said on July 14th, the United States is dealing well with measles and is not planning on declaring a public health emergency for disease. He said the individual states with their issues, we are there for them. But at this point, considering a national emergency is not going to happen. And this is essentially what they're trying to do, and this is how they got so much stuff passed through COVID, if you remember this. Emergency use authorization. They declare state of emergency, then it gives them the ability to have pretty much carte blanche immunity to do anything they want, pass anything they want, roll anything they want out, and it's got the rubber stamp of approval, and he said he's not doing that.
Well, what they'll do, they'll take the, if you do that, they're going to go to the schools themselves and have mandatory,
that's exactly what they're
mandatory vaccines in the schools.
Yeah.
That's where this is going to go.
They already started doing that with COVID. Right?
You know, by the way, I talked to Melina yesterday, and she, you know, takes care of kids, and she has like a six-month-old baby that got the measles shot. And now the kids have
more.
It was 6 months, and now the baby has measles. You know, because, you know, it's a lot of times that's what happens because of vaccine shedding. So I find it interesting. By the way, a new study just came out. It says, eat more eggs. It says, study finds that weekly egg consumption slashes Alzheimer's risk of disease by 40%.
That's
brain-protecting choline. Isn't that interesting?
Yep.
You know, it says, a new study reveals eating eggs weekly reduces Alzheimer's. That the yolks protect brain health. I mean, I get so frustrated when I watch people eat egg whites.
I know.
And they throw the yolk away. The yolk is loaded with sulfur. That's why it's, you know, yellow-orange, and that's why it protects your hair, your nails, your skin, and your brain. So why in the world are you not going to eat the yolk?
The only time that I had egg whites in, and I don't do it much anymore, was when I was trying to increase the protein intake when I'd have like 4 or 5 whole eggs, mm-hmm. and then I'd add another like half a cup of egg whites.
Yeah. A research tracked 1,000 older adults for 7 years showing that the egg consumers had a 50% reduction in Alzheimer's risk.
There you go.
And fewer brain plaques. 50%. Choline, critical for memory, is abundant in eggs, but lacking in 90% of diets due to anti-fat propaganda.
Yeah.
The findings challenged decades of dietary dogma that vilified eggs by promoting harmful processed foods tied to cognitive decline, like cereal. Despite industry pushback, eggs offer a natural, side-effect-free defense against Alzheimer's, outperforming profit-driven pharmaceuticals. Are you listening, friends?
No.
Sometimes I'll have an egg fast for a day. You think, what does that mean? I eat only eggs.
Yeah.
Especially when I, you know, boil a couple dozen, I want to have some egg salad. I'll have egg salad, or eggs for breakfast, egg salad for lunch, egg salad for the afternoon, and I just do it that way because to me, it's such a healthy meal, and it really, really reduces the risks of senile dementia and basically problems associated with Alzheimer's disease. It says the study isn't just a win for egg lovers; it's a direct rebuke to the corrupt nutrition industrial complex. Ooh, I haven't heard that before. The corrupt nutrition industrial complex, run primarily through, hate to say it, these people have been trained in nutrition, these dietitians, man, they hate nutritionists. For years, so-called experts, the dietitians, demonized eggs while pushing sugary cereals and vegetable oils linked to inflammation and cognitive decline. Remember, these are the guys up in Atlanta who attacked me because I said you should eat real butter instead of margarine. Meanwhile, Alzheimer's cases have skyrocketed with 7 million Americans now suffering and projected as many 13 million victims by 2050. But the science is clear. Nature's design outshines profit-driven pharmaceuticals. One large egg develops 147 milligrams of choline, far more than most supplements, alongside with brain-boosting omega-3s and lutein. Compared that to the dismal track record of the FDA-approved Alzheimer's drugs, which often cause dangerous side effects while failing to address root causes. Why isn't this breakthrough making headlines? Follow the money. The processed food industrial complex thievery thrives when food is vilified, real food, and big pharma cashes in when preventable diseases like Alzheimer's, according to this article, spiral out of control. Meanwhile, the study authors disclose funding from the Egg Nutrition Council. In fact, corporate media will weaponize to discredit the findings. But no amount of spin can change the data. Participants eating 2 or 3 more eggs a day, excuse me, two or more eggs weekly saw the same 47% risk reduction as those eating one, proving even modest dietary shifts yield life-changing benefits, just better brain health. I thought this was a really, really good article. I'm sorry, I'm choking a coffin.
Yes, absolutely. No, the thing about it is, you know, when you look at this stuff a lot of times with the eggs, it gets so demonized, but yet when you do the research, it is so important to keep those omega-3 fats in your diet. And I cannot at all encourage that enough. It's just a staple. And one thing like Dad was saying, there's times too where, like, I mean, eggs and GHI cleanse. I've done that multiple times. Like, pretty much I'll just stick with eggs and GHI cleanse. What it does is, A, you don't get hardly any carbs all day, so it gives you like that low carb cycling, gets you a ton of healthy fats and protein, and it'll really, really reduce inflammation as well. And speaking of inflammation and issues now, this is crazy, Dad. They're saying now, look at this, the rubber stamp has been reckless with the GLP drugs with children now.
I saw that article. So I was going to cover it. I'm glad you pulled it up.
They said the amount of Ozempic that's being used on children and teens age 8 to 17 increased by 65% immediately following AAP's recommendation and 5% per month after that. They said the prescription for GLP-1 weight loss drugs like Ozempic grew substantially after the American Academy of Pediatrics recommended them for childhood obesity. Gosh, they said the researchers with a health data and analyst company analyzed more than 310,000 health records, and they found the significant increase of children received this drug right after the pediatrics approved it and recommended it for young children. And the problem I have with this is that there's a double side. We've talked about this a lot, so I'm not going to go into detail again.
Children who lose weight on the drugs suffer profound muscle loss that does not recover and rebound weight gain when the drug is stopped.
If you've seen a lot of these celebrities that get on this stuff, they lose weight, but they look like they're like a
dead.
Yeah, they look like a zombie, like a heroin addict or something. Mm-hmm. They're completely and totally emaciated. They have no muscle tissue at all. There's nothing there. Because what happens is you go massively catabolic with these drugs. And what happens is in most cases, nobody's using adequate amount of protein in their diet. They just eat whatever they want in smaller amounts. This drug helps them lose weight.
Then their hair falls out.
Their hair falls out. Teeth start falling out. Start having skin issues. Massive muscle tissue loss. And here's the other problem that nobody's talking about. This 8 to 17. 8 to 17. Okay. What is this doing long-term research-wise on prepubescent children, kids that are going into puberty, going on a drug like this that aren't getting adequate nutrients, not adequate enough protein, not to mention whatever other long-term health effects? The answer is nobody knows. This drug's never been used.
They know.
That's true.
It's detrimental. They're just not going to tell you.
They're not going to tell you. There's been no significant research on long-term testing on what this does to children in clinical trials.
Well, it's like the mRNA. It's like give me this camera, Rich. It's like the mRNA vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, the problem with it is that people say it wasn't tested. That's a lie. Every single cat and ferret got tested in the study died.
Yeah, it was 2016.
No, it's like 2003. This has been around for a long time. That's part of the super soldier program.
Well, I remember DARPA, it was 2012 or 2016, DARPA started playing around with it, and then that's when the FDA came out, and they said they were not going to allow it for clinical trials.
They all died of sepsis.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I remember you had a pit bull, and your family got the dog on COVID. Dog came down with a COVID. It died of sepsis.
Yeah.
I mean, for some reasons, you know, certain mammals can't handle it very well, including cats and ferrets and family dogs. And so it's crazy. When you stop and you think about how bad it is.
Well, it's weaponized.
It's weaponized.
The whole thing was weaponized. Yeah. And so now we're looking at these guidelines on childhood obesity. And here's the thing. If you're a parent, it is your responsibility to maintain your child's health, especially when they're young. It's your responsibility to maintain their weight. You know, I've known multiple people now. You know, the parents get obese, children right behind them. And the problem with this is with these young kids, they got to fight this crap the rest of their life, especially if they go through puberty with heavy, heavy fat cells like that. They're very hard to get off after that.
Well, you know, what I've seen is this. I've seen a lot of people, you know, over the years that I've known that have ended up going to jail for various reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it. I mean, you have various reasons. They either get involved with something they shouldn't be involved in, or somebody else drags them to something they shouldn't be involved in, or they get locked up because they're speeding, like in the state of Florida now. You get 90 days in jail for your second offense.
Did we cover that yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Be careful.
Over 100 miles an hour.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just.
But the point is this. The one thing that's a common denominator with all these people who go to jail, especially in Polk County, is they all come out, you know, light. They all lose weight.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I knew one person that ended up being in jail because her son stole a bunch of stuff, and they found the stuff in her house, and she got arrested for it, too, and now she's out. And she lost like 50, 60 pounds, Austin.
Oh, you lose weight and you go to jail.
Well, no. And
the food's crap.
No, listen to it. And you know what it is. It's based on caloric intake.
Yeah.
Okay, so what they do, they give you X amount of calories. They probably gave her 1,500 calories a day.
Yeah.
That's it.
You're going to lose weight.
There's no snacking.
No.
There's no junk food. And this person had gone on Ozempic repeatedly trying to lose weight and keep the weight off and gained it all back every single time. And now she's out of jail. And she ended up, she's about 5'9". She probably weighs 150 pounds. So she looks great. And you say the crazy part about it is how long will it take before she basically gains the weight back now?
We're not recommending going to jail to lose weight.
No, but the point, no. Here's the reason I'm saying that. All you got to do is monitor your caloric intake.
That's it. It's not that difficult to do.
No, this is, you know, people go and have bariatric surgery done.
Yeah.
You know, and they lose a bunch of weight.
They do the bands on the stomach.
They do all kinds of stuff. And then what happens, because they can't intake as many calories, they lose weight. So wouldn't it have been easier just to discipline yourself and eat smaller meals and eat some less amount of calories to lose the weight instead of going in with bariatric surgery because of all kinds of horrible side effects?
Well, and the thing is with kids, too, is you got to understand, if you bring it in the house, your kids are going to find it.
Yeah.
I have found that numerous times. Yeah. I mean, we had over Christmas, you know, we got a bag of York peppermint patties. Okay,
they ate the whole bag.
Yeah, I couldn't find the bag. I had like two out of the bag. I mean, they're like, I wanted one. They're fun sometimes. They're good. They're minty. I like one. Can't find them. Like, where are the Yorks at? We don't know. We don't know where it's at. All right. I could dig in their bedroom. They got the bag and a full of empty wrappers hidden behind their doggone dresser.
They had like 60 of them.
I was like, no wonder you guys have been hungry for 2 days. I was mad. But again, that was my fault for bringing that crap in the house. They got in trouble for it. But at the end of the day, I buy the food. They don't. I don't see them at Publix with a shopping cart, my son Hunter.
I bought a box of them, too, for Christmas. Your kids went to those things.
They like Yorks. I mean, there could be worse things, but...
Well, I like York, too.
I like more than two.
What
after
I do
month.
Is, if I want one, when I'm in the checkout line at Publix, I'll buy a York.
Yeah. I can't buy bags anymore as a kid.
And I haven't done that probably in a year. But I mean, the point is, it's just that, you know, you just got to be moderate and stuff like that. Here's another one. Sugar and artificial sweeteners are linked to early puberty in teens.
I saw that.
This is an interesting article. It says a new study of 1,400 teens found that sugar, aspartame equal sucralose, Splenda, you know, licorice root are all associated with a significantly higher risk of early puberty, which can affect emotional, metabolic, and reproductive health. Isn't that interesting? And remember, it's not just sugar, it's aspartame too, and Splenda. They were all associated with higher risk. Early puberty can lead to emotional distress, shorter adult height, and increased risk of future metabolic and reproductive disorders, according to the study. The results highlight the importance of personalized nutrition and public health awareness, a professor of family medicine at Taipei Medicine Medical said. This suggests that children who eat and drink, especially products with sweeteners, may have a surprising and powerful impact on development, including early onset puberty. Now, the crazy part about that is another study just came out that said that this type of, you know, that artificial sweeteners have a massive increase as far as the ability of blood vessels in the brain to repair themselves and could impair blood vessels and cause stroke.
I don't doubt that at all.
It said brain blood vessels cells, you know, sweeteners could impair blood vessels and cause stroke. In a nutshell, erythritol, which is an alcohol sugar found in many sugar-free drinks, was tested on human brain blood vessels in a lab. The sweetener increased cellular stress and disrupted key protective pathways. The changes are known for risk factors for stroke, but the study was short-term. Studies say that more human research is needed. So the zero-calorie sweetener making your morning coffee may just be affecting the blood vessels in your brain, massively increasing the risks of stroke, similar to drinking just one can of diet soda. Research from the University of Colorado Boulder discovered that erythritol triggers a cascade of cellular changes that could theoretically raise stroke risk, ramping up harmful oxidative stress in side cells and disrupting protective nitric oxide pathways, which is what you get from HGH stimulate, and blunting the brain's natural clot-busting abilities. So, I mean, here we find all of this stuff. It's in sugar-free gum. It's in protein bars. It's in drinks. It's all these different things that people are taking because they think it's the healthier alternative, and it's not. It causes an increased risk of stroke.
Yep.
So, and that's why we try to avoid alcohol sugars. I just don't care for that
Monk
stuff.
Fruit's the best one from what I've found.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the best options as far as for a sugar on there.
Oh, by the way, Trump now has unveiled more than $100 billion in Alzheimer's, in artificial intelligence energy investments as part of a major push for the U.S. elite innovation over China in bringing in AI to secure the United States with cameras everywhere so we can all be fully tracked in a digital prison. Wow, did I say that?
I did. Yeah, that was all part of this gigantic BBB bill that they wanted. I talked about it in detail on the Hagman Show last time with Palantir's contract, with their multiple DOD contracts, their AI contracts. These systems, what they're doing is they're consolidating everybody's information from every facet of a digital life, whether it be with IRS, whether it be with bank accounts, whether it be with your geolocation on Google, whether it be your vehicle. Everything. If it's digital, if it touches the internet, they're data logging it. And it's some pretty creepy stuff they're doing. And again, it's another reason why you got to try to do your best to maintain your privacy the best you possibly can in this day and age. But
here's some of the specifics. Google, $25 billion to build AI centers in 13 states. Blackstone, $25 billion to construct data centers. Pennsylvania Data Center Partners will build a three-campus data center hub near Carlisle for $15 billion. First Energy plans to expand power distribution, strengthen grid infrastructure, $15 billion. Homer City Redevelopment, $15 billion. PPL Corporation, that's Parker, Pittsburgh, same guys, PPL Corporation, will spend $6.8 billion to expand grid capacity for data centers. Westinghouse Energy Company, $6 billion. CoreWeave building a $6 billion data center in Lancaster. Energy Capital Partners building a $5 billion center. They're really pushing this stuff into Pennsylvania. Frontier Group, the $3 billion into western Pennsylvania. And Capital Power expanding a gas facility near the Shaokan Dam in Pennsylvania for another $3 billion. I mean, unbelievable. And again, he's saying, hey, look what I'm doing for Pennsylvania. We're putting $100 billion into their infrastructure, which is really good. But at what cost? And for why are they doing it? This isn't trying to help humanity. This is about to bring us under the boot, the heel of artificial intelligence.
That's exactly what it is. And that's the problem, is all this stuff sounds good on the front load side. What about the back side? What happens when more and more jobs get dissolved?
Well, what's going to happen is this. And here, let me give you a little scenario here that, you know, we probably haven't talked about yet, but we will right now. Is you got a thing in the state of Florida now, if you're doing 100 miles an hour on the interstate, they arrest you. They impound the car and they take you if there's nobody in the car to drive it home. Well, how do we know with an AI system built on the interstates that they're going to automatically do this to you if you're not even stopped? And all of a sudden they show up at your house at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, well, you know, an hour ago you were out on the interstate and you were doing 102 miles an hour. Now, there wasn't anybody out there, but you're under arrest. And we got videotape of you behind the driver's seat. Oh, they won't do that? Okay. I drove through Switzerland years ago. I was doing 3 miles an hour over the speed limit. I was doing like 63 instead of 60. I got 10 speeding tickets, cost me $1,000, $100 a piece. And they sent them in the mail to me. All speed cameras. Yep. We already have red light cameras. What's going to stop us from having speed cameras? And what's going to stop them if they have you on video and they're watching you?
With biometrics that they can prove through AI algorithm.
And they've got a video in the car, like with the Teslas, and they're watching you do it all, and they're showing the dash on the split screen. They're going, okay, here's the evidence of this guy. So we're going to put you in jail now for 30 days because you were doing 101 miles an hour at 2 o'clock in the morning. And, oh, by the way, we're going to go ahead and breath test you right now, see if you were drunk doing this. And you're like, What do you mean? Blowing the breathalyzer, boy. You're getting arrested for DUI on top of everything else. You're like, but I don't drink. It doesn't matter. You're blowing that breathalyzer. What if it gives you a false positive? It doesn't matter. You're going to jail for refusing to blow on a breathalyzer. You're going to have your license revoked for a year now because you're refusing to blow. And you're like, what the heck just happened to the United States of America? That's what these AI centers are going to do. They're going to make this type of technology possible in which we're going to be monitored with every footstep, every breath of air, every finger movement that we do is going to be monitored. That's why you got to turn your permissions off on your telephone.
Yeah. You keep your camera covered, man. That thing doesn't record you all the time.
Well, no. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she was talking about certain topics. I'm covering my camera right now.
Well, I had to pull mine off sometimes when I do Hagman. Yeah. I just keep a piece of tape on it. Everybody goes, why are you so paranoid about it? Watch the movie Snowden. That was back almost 20 years ago now.
They were watching
NSA.
People being intimate in their houses. Yeah, it was crazy because they see the cameras.
And now it's even worse.
But she was talking about certain things, and all of a sudden, you know, she was talking about, you know, travel and all the different things, and all of a sudden, all these advertisements start popping up.
That's like fast.
But she has her microphones on.
Yep.
So they hear everything that you say, everything that you want to do, if you're going to be intimate with your wife. And, you know, the other day you were telling me that you tried to buy a mattress that was going to monitor you 24 hours a day.
Yeah. I walked out of it. I had the whole deal set up. I was going to get a new sleep number.
And then she told you, well, you know, we found out, we had somebody here a while back that somebody changed the setting on it, and the guy's wife was out of the town, and he was having an affair on his wife.
Yeah.
And he got busted because somebody else was sleeping in his bed. I'm like, wait a minute.
The rep of sleep number told me this. And she she goes, well, you got to download the app. So I'm looking at the app. There's all these terms and conditions, pages and pages. And so I actually took a second. I said, let me look at this crap. What am I signing here? What am I signing up with this app, this mattress, this whole thing? Because we have to have an app on your phone. It's all digital, all Wi-Fi now. I said, I just want to have a mattress. It's not that complicated. Can I just sleep in peace? Well, sign up for this and approve this and approve this. And I'm going through it. And sure enough, it says Sleep Number reserves the right to basically monitor, record, data log everything from how many times you get up in the middle of the night to your sleep pattern to your settings. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff. It was monitoring temperature, and some of this advanced beds. And it has reserves the right to sell all of your data to third-party advertisers and anybody alike. They can monitor everything you do. And like I said, then she started joking with me about basically this couple broke up because his wife was out of town. All of a sudden, she started getting notified on her app that her side started changing Sleep Number settings and all this stuff. And I'm like, can we just sleep? Oh, no, we've got to make sure your thermostat is also controlled. So we put you on 85 in the afternoon to reserve energy. And we have to make sure your refrigerator records everything you eat. You got to make sure your Alexa listens to all your conversations. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And it's the little small things that they start data logging. They build this giant profile on you. And it's getting pretty creepy. I mean, Florida's already turned into a doggone police state. Operation Slowdown. Florida will launch its week-long anti-speeding campaign. This started on Monday this week.
So if you guys are on the interstate here, do the speed limit.
I'm giving you a heads up right now. Florida Highway Patrol, some of them are some of the rudest individuals you ever encounter in law enforcement.
Remember that leprechaun that pulled me here a few months ago?
There's some good ones. I'm friends with a lot of law enforcement. Polk County Sheriff's Department's amazing here in Florida. Highway Patrol, for some odd reason, some of these guys, they got a bone to pick with the entire world.
And he was so mean. His head was like this big around. He walked up to my car, and he didn't have to bend over. He was like 4 feet tall with a giant head. And he walked up and started screaming at me. And I'm like,
wow. Well, here's the problem I have with this, okay?
Look at this.
If you look at the numbers on it, there's usually two highway patrol for certain sections of I-4, I-10, I-75. They have different grid sections on two of them.
Well, that looks like the Polk Parkway where they train those people on the radar right there, Austin. I bet that's what that is.
It might be.
Yeah.
So they're now saying they're expanding it from two troopers per section to eight troopers per section. Average Florida Highway Patrol on numbers, they can basically issue about five citations per hour if they have their entire machine running perfect. They can run the aircraft. They can have other spotters. They're clocking. If you got eight troopers running five tickets an hour at average $250 a ticket, that means they're bringing in about $10,000 an hour. Do the numbers on them. $10,000 an hour on a 12-hour shift, that means they're pulling $120,000 maximum they can pull on a 12-hour shift. You do that for a week? Dude, you're talking about bringing in borderline $1 million.
Oh, more than millions.
Yeah, if not more. So I'm pretty sure how long you want to keep it out.
That gets some new patrol cars, and he could try to do something to make that hat fit on his giant head.
So, well, my opinion, I think, the problem I have with this is just state extortion. They're doing this intentionally because they probably need an extra million or two in the coffers. They don't want to pull it out of the general budget. So what happens is Florida Highway Patrol get a chunk of it. Florida taxes get a chunk of it, and all of a sudden they go in and just extract a giant amount of money. They used to do this all the time. And you saw this movie, like, for example, Robin Hood. They used to do it all the time in medieval times. The king would need to leverage a new war, or he needed to go buy more stuff, or he needed to take over another castle. Well, they go in, they just raise tax on everybody. Oh, by the way, new income tax this week, another 10%. Well, what did I do? Why? The king decreed it. He deemed it so. pay up, peasant. Now, son, I'm doing 75 and a 70. Oh, by the way, you're getting a ticket now. Oh, by the way, we caught you on camera five other times now. So now you got five other tickets coming your way. They haven't done that yet. You wait till the AI platform.
I have my friend with a red light camera. She said, I don't know what to do. She goes, I got four red light tickets in 1 month. She goes, it's like $250 a piece. She goes, I'm a single mom trying to survive.
Yeah.
I can't afford this.
Well, the problems I have is I've fought red light tickets, and I have won. This ticket clinic has fought numerous counties and won. A lot of red light tickets get false positives. People pull up to the intersection, and they're turning right, and they stop halfway. All of a sudden, as soon as they go over the line, bam, red light camera hits your tag. They just automatically send you a ticket. Well, you didn't run a red light. You just stopped over the line while you're waiting to turn red to make sure it was clear. You did nothing wrong. You did nothing dangerous. You did nothing illicit. There was no victim. You just stopped and drove. Ah, $250, peasant. Pay up. Pay up.
I got one of those in Sarasota County, and I contacted Ticket Clinic, and they said, we don't even try to represent
Sarasota
you for red light.
Yeah.
They said, don't do it.
We got most of them kicked out of Polk County, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a good friend of ours, Carl Panzler.
Yeah.
He fought the heck out of those. Oh, by the way, Unshrunk, Overcoming the Downward Spiral of Psychiatric Drug Addiction.
Oof.
Now, I'm going to say something about this. Sometimes people can really be helped with psychiatric drugs. Sometimes it makes it much worse.
Yeah.
Because, and I just want you to just be very careful with your medical doctor if they're not willing to try to something else before you got they get you on psychiatric drugs. And if you're taking any kind of psychiatric drugs, do not stop taking them because of what I'm about to say. Don't do it. I mean, especially if you're dealing with things like Xanax.
Talk to your doctor before you do anything with your dosage. We're not giving you any medical advice.
No, we're not giving any medical advice at all. But you've got to be real careful. This is an article again from The Defender, and it says, you know, in her book Unshrunk, A Story of Psychiatric Treatment Resistance, Laura Delaney traces her long journey in the mental health system. She exposed a culture that medicalizes distress, favors long-term medication, neglects adverse effects, and fails to offer a viable path to true recovery. I had one person that I knew, they put her on Effexor when she was 17 years old.
Jeez.
That's a sustained-release Prozac in basically tiny little capsules. And they would not take her off, and she tried and tried and tried. Finally, she took herself off, which I don't recommend, and it took her almost an entire year, and she would actually count the tiny little capsules in every pill and take like one less a day, one less a day, one less a day, one of the tiny capsules, you know, sustained release capsules, until she got herself off. But she still wasn't right in the head because of the brain damage that had been done by being on a sustained release Prozac for all those years. And it says, as a physician, I've spent years helping patients discontinue medication, particularly psychiatric drugs. The process is far more difficult than it should be. I've encountered significant barriers, gaps in medical training, institutional resistance, and a clinical culture that rewards prescribing but gives little evidence and guidance on how to stop. This void in psychiatric care is not just clinical inconvenience, it's a public health issue. After reading the articles by Tucker and DeMasi, I was eager to learn about this girl's book. And she goes into detail about what happens with this brain thing that they do. And they talk about the problem associated with the serotonin uptake inhibitor myth. While many clinicians are unaware of this, the public conversation lagged behind. In her 2025 book, Chemically Imbalanced, The Making and Unmaking of the Serotonin Myth, Moncrief explores how the idea of a depression of a brain disease became an apparent dogma despite the lack of any scientific report. Her book is a sobering reminder of how medical myths can become deeply embedded, persisting long after their specific foundations have eroded. And she talks about how the serotonin reuptake inhibitors are basically not good. And I'm going to let you read this yourself. But the reality is this. Be really careful if they want to put you on psychiatric drugs. Now, here's what I recommend that you do if you have not gone on psychiatric meds and you're having a problem with being up and down and having problems with depression. 5-HTP, really important from a supplement standpoint. Omega-3 fats, methylated B vitamins. Those three are unreal what they do. And the magnesium brain food, GHI cleanse. Because there's all kinds of natural things that you can do from a health standpoint that are healthy for you. I had a really good friend of mine, I'm not mentioning any names here, I won't do that. And he had a real bad problem with hypoglycemia. In fact, Cecilia Rosenfeld, medical doctor, wrote many years ago in one of her top books, she said that one of the primary causes of marital discord was blood sugar imbalances and hypoglycemia. Because when your sugar, let me make it real simple. If you get a baseline and your sugar is supposed to be around 100 all the time, and all of a sudden when you eat something, it goes up real high, your body dumps in insulin, it drops real low. And pretty soon you have this cycle. You have high sugar, low sugar, high sugar, low sugar. And when you get low sugar, you don't get as much glucose to the brain. And when you don't get the glucose to the brain, what happens is your brain starts getting real groggy, real foggy, and you get real irritable and edgy. I know with me, if I get hypoglycemic and my blood sugar goes down, I got to eat.
Ditto.
You're worse. You're worse than I am. Okay. And so, you know, all of a sudden, why are you in such a lousy mood? I haven't eaten. Sharon would always say, before we went shopping, I'd just take, because I don't like shopping anyhow, especially for clothes. I don't like it at all. And she'd say, when you go shopping with me, I'm like, yeah. She goes, let me get you something to eat.
Feed me.
No, she'd take me out and give me something to eat. And she'd say, and then she'd always have like a coffee bar or a blueberry muffin in her purse. Here, have you eat this? And I'm like, okay, great. And she learned that if I had a blueberry muffin or a chocolate bar or even some chicken or anything, that I would buy her more stuff.
She's in a better mood.
No, I remember one time we went to a boot place outside of Atlanta. And, you know, and finally she liked like four different pairs of boots. And I was feeling particularly gregarious that day. I had great blood sugar. And I talked to the owner. And I bought all four pairs. She's going to buy one pair. I said, let's take them all. remember that? And she was the happiest little. She's a happy camper. But she actually got the boots, and she was so happy that she had all these fancy boots. Here's the point: blood sugar irregularities will really affect your mood swings, because when it goes real high, you get headaches in the top of your head. Real low, you get headaches in the back of the head, and then you get real groggy, real foggy. Your vision goes blurred, and you're in a foul mood. So this is up and down all day long. So you get up in the morning, have your coffee, you spike your blood sugar. It dumps down from insulin, then you go hypoglycemic, so you drink more coffee, goes back up again, you have your donuts, and it goes up and down. So you have this, and so what happens is you have this situation where you're constantly running high insulin.
Yep.
Okay? And that's why the Ozempic works, is it brings this insulin back down. Okay? But the problem they don't tell you is that it's a diabetic drug. It's not made to lose weight with.
It's a diabetic
drug. But that's why it works. And so what ends up happening is you have this constant mood swing. Well, my buddy, he's a great guy, had a problem with that. Every time he ate sugar, he'd drop off hard. He'd fall asleep. And then he'd be okay once his sugar stabilized. And then we got him on a protocol, on a diet, and he felt great. The problem was his wife was obese. And I'm not picking on his wife, because that's not his fault that she was obese. But she brought sugar in the house constantly. So he's constantly drinking and eating sugar. So he's up and down, up and down, up and down, up and up and down. And, you know, and so instead of disciplining himself and not eating and drinking the sugar, he continued to do that until finally he went to a brain clinic in Atlanta. This story has a horrible ending. And they put him on a drug, I think, and I'm pretty sure it was
lithium.
Yeah, they put him on lithium. Okay, and he stabilized for a little while. Then it got worse again. Before it was over with, he's like on 7 different prescription psychiatric drugs. And he wasn't even the same person anymore. Mood swings up and down, up and down. Severe problems with depression and everything else. Well, what ended up happening is he went to a rehab clinic to come off all these drugs, wasn't in it long enough, and ended up committing suicide. And you think, and I talked to his wife, great lady, and she told me, she says, what people don't realize is that when you go to one of the psychiatric clinics, they put you on all these drugs, they're guessing as to what you need, because they don't know. They don't know the dosing, they don't know what you need, they're guessing. It's all a prognosis, it's an educated guess, and they kind of just make things up as they go. And if one doesn't work, 2's got to be better. If 2 don't work, 3's got to be better. If 3 doesn't work, you might as well do 7. It's going to be better. No, it's not. So you have all these problems that are associated with that. So the sad part about this is that a lot of people don't realize that when you start messing with serotonin levels, you start depleting the raw materials that create the serotonin. Because it's a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, and the body takes that serotonin, breaks it down, and makes more serotonin with the raw materials. And when you don't break it down, you start having a deficiency of the materials that you need to produce serotonin. And when that happens, you go from being feeling okay to unbelievably low without the serotonin into a depressive state in which sometimes you commit suicide. And so this is what people need to understand. When you start on these psychiatric drugs, it's a cycle that you better be really, really careful with and try everything you possibly can first, including stabilizing your blood sugar, including 5-HTP, including B-complex and methylated B vitamins, including a really good powdered multiple, including omega-3 fats. Do all that first before you start on a psychiatric drug. It's like this. If you've got a kid who's got a problem with ADD or ADHD, why do you want to put him on a drug like Ritalin or Adderall, which is a Schedule II drug, in the same category with morphine, opium, and Percodan? Don't start like that. Start by changing the diet. Get them off the red dyes. Get them off the blue dyes. Get them on a supplement program. Get them on omega-3 fats. Never start, you know, with a 20-pound hammer when you're trying to drive a finishing nail. Don't do that. All you're going to do is mess everything up. Do it very, very, very slowly and figure out what to do from a nutritional standpoint. If you stabilize that blood sugar, you'll be amazed how much better you're going to feel. You really are. And that's one of the problems with the Ozempic. Okay, yeah. It helps to stabilize the blood sugar because it helps to regulate insulin, and people get caught up in that, and they go, oh, this is great. I'll lose all this weight. Well, you're losing that muscle. Then your face starts losing muscles. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay? Then your face has the Ozempic face. You look like you're a zombie, and then pretty soon you come off the Ozempic, and the weight comes right back on again. It's like my friend who was in jail for several months for something she didn't even do that her son did. She ended up losing 50, 60 pounds in jail without Ozempic. Imagine that. Didn't need Ozempic. And that's the key, is all about discipline and picking the right foods. It was like you said earlier about the peppermint patties.
Yeah.
We bring that crap home to our kids.
That was my fault. I haven't done it since.
No. I may do it again.
You may.
but the point
that's
is.
That's why they're not hungry to come back.
No. But I only give them like one or two. Like, yeah. I'll take them and I'll go get, you know, one of Annie's, Annie's organic biscuits. So you have to get them real high in the back so they can't see them.
Can't see them.
And then you walk in there, they're climbing the shelves trying to get up. bunch of shelf climbers. I know it's here somewhere.
Yeah, they'll dig it through.
But so I don't have any of that here anymore either. But the point is, if you don't have the ability to control what you eat, don't bring it in the house.
That's exactly right.
And don't give it to the kids.
I've learned this before, because I always love some ice cream. That's always my dessert go-to, and I try to stay away from it because just the dairy is just not good as you get older, and it'll pack weight on you really quick. So if we bring ice cream to the house, I always try to get smaller amounts. Well, occasionally when there's a birthday, somebody will end up bringing enormous amounts of ice cream, giant tubs from the organic, when all of a sudden I open the freezer, there's like five of these giant things, and I'm like, oh, boy. You're looking at it. You close it. Then I think about it again. I go back and open it. I close it again. And I'm like, why is this in the house? Why do I have to look at this now? And so that makes it that point exactly.
Well, I just need to get rid of it. I'm just going to eat it.
I'm just going to eat it. It just needs to be gone. So, again, make sure if you're trying to lose weight, keep the stuff out of the house. The back-to-school kids pack, under $65. This is a kit, and I've kept the price the same for like 3 years now on this. This is the children's chewable and the children's DHA cod. You can also get it in these chewable soft gels. The liquid's better. This is strawberry cod. Tastes fantastic. I'm not joking about that. My Stetson, my youngest, he takes all the time. Give him a little spoonful of it. He loves it. This is a great omega-3 fat and a great multiple chewable to start them on. They both taste great. They both put them down great, and they actually enjoy taking them. You don't have to fight them about their vitamins. Make sure they're getting the proper nutrients. I was laughing when you were saying that as far as with a they start off with these drugs. Not that it was funny, but I just picture my mind with a big old sledgehammer finishing nails on sheetrock.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to knock it in.
Let's get some really nice poplar trim wood.
Yeah.
You got a tiny little, like a little six-penny, four-penny, five-penny, six-penny nail, and you're trying to drive it with a 10-pound hammer.
Yeah.
It'll go in,
yeah.
But you're going to dent the wood.
Everything's trash.
Everything's banged up. Yeah. By the way, great article just came out on chemtrails. And I'm not going to read it to you because we already know about chemtrails on the show. We've covered it. And she says, here's what we need. We need an executive order from President Trump that immediately bans all forms of geoengineering until an independent and publicly accountable review is conducted. We need a congressional inquiry into every agency and institution, whether public, private, or academic, that currently participates and funds these programs. And we need a new constitutional amendment guaranteeing the right to unaltered weather in America.
That's what we need. We need that 100%.
Well, the problem is this stuff's under DARPA.
That's exactly right. Okay? Well, it's all under black budget Pentagon.
And a lot of it Trump probably doesn't even know about because it's basically black ops. And so it's crazy. And they said that NASA's one of the biggest culprits because they got all those planes and those long-range planes, and they spray.
Well, and here's the other issue, too, because I got a good friend of mine who works with Lockheed Martin, and the issue is in a lot of the military stuff, a lot of the DARPA stuff, it is unbelievably compartmentalized.
It is.
They keep everybody in a box. Working on their specific task, their specific protocol, their specific project. And so what happens is a lot of people don't even realize what they're working on in some of these cases. And then at the end of the day, at the baseline, you get a few people that are working on these projects. But as far as Trump or anybody actually knowing about these that are going on, at the end of the day, I'm not going to defend him on certain stuff. But I guarantee you he doesn't have any idea what's going on.
No, in fact, it says, sadly, the deaths from Alzheimer's and other types of neurodegenerative diseases may not be purely speculative. Independent medical research sees a couple of examples. It has raised serious concerns about human exposure to fine particles of barium, aluminum, and strontium. These substances, when inhaled, ingested, or absorbed, have been linked to a range of neurological, respiratory, and cardiovascular conditions. This is why I take the magnesium. Sadly, the deaths from Alzheimer's and other types of neurodegenerative diseases may not be purely speculative. Independent medical research sees a couple of examples. It has raised serious concerns about human exposure to fine particles of barium, aluminum, and strontium. These substances, when inhaled, ingested, or absorbed, have been linked to a range of neurological, respiratory, and cardiovascular conditions. This is why I take the magnesium. Research has associated aerosol pollution with rising asthma rates, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and even endocrine eruption. Yet these risks go largely unaddressed. The EPA has not conducted any long-term toxicological studies on atmospheric dispersants that say it doesn't exist. Neither have state health departments, because if you acknowledge the risk, you must accept liability.
That's exactly right. I was just about to say that. Mm-hmm. If you admit nothing, deny everything, and make counter-accusations in perpetuity, you understand what I just said? Mm-hmm. You can't ever be held liable for it because you don't even know it exists.
That's why you signed a waiver. Give me this camera. You signed a waiver when you took the COVID shot.
Yep.
And you had it was emergency youth authorization only and with no listed side effects. And you took full responsibility for having an experimental drug mRNA vaccine injected into your body, which gave carte blanche immunity to the manufacturers of the sludge.
Had to sign off on it.
That's why
they didn't give a single shot to anyone that I've ever talked to that did not sign off on a form.
I remember Sharon and I back in 2020 were walking through Ybor City to go to the Acropolis restaurant. I go there all the time. Great Greek food. If you're ever in Ybor City, and no, they don't pay me for this. But they know me there. And what's funny about it is that we were walking by and they had a big tent set up to sign people up to get the COVID shot.
Yeah.
In the parking lot. And so I looked
at the form. You read the form, didn't you?
No, I took the form. No, I didn't have to. I knew what the form said. And so some guy comes over soliciting me on the sidewalk. And I looked at him and I said, I'm going to make your day, bud. I said, why do you want me to take a drug, a shot that has no clinical testing on humans?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, no, no, you're wrong. It's fully clinical tested. I say, au contraire. That's why this is an emergency use authorization.
Right on the form.
And I said, and that's why I've got to sign off on it. There's no clinical testing. I said, why don't you do this? Why don't you go Google this? And I'll talk to you when I come back from the restaurant. Man, he was gone. I never saw him again. And the crazy part about it is he probably started questioning his boss. Is this thing, you know, clinically tested on humans? Oh, no.
We did 90 days of trial run.
With a rat.
90 days of trial run.
Died. And, I don't think you find any legitimate human testing that was done on that product. And they create, that's not true. I correct myself. I just made a bad mistake. I apologize. I told you when I mess up, I tell you, the studies were extensive with DARPA and with the Super Soldier program. And they said they were not safe for humans.
Well, even
they knew exactly what they would do.
Pfizer had the slide that got released with over, 75 different known side effects from when they tested it for 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
90 days. They had a whole list of it. And now the FDA commissioner is completely gaslighting us. And I want to bring this article up to kind of show you guys the psychological operation they're doing.
That is one ugly dude.
So the FDA commissioner is getting slammed, Dr. Marty Makary, because, again, remember, they just approved the next phase of the Moderna COVID shot for young children again, and they rolled out another shot.
Nice suit, though.
It fits. That's fitted.
It's fitted suit.
Yeah, that's a good suit. Mm-hmm. It's a good setup. Anyways, and so it says the Commissioner of Food and Drug Administration is responding to critics of the agency's recent approval of yet again another COVID-19 vaccine. Remember, there were no testing on the shot at all. They modified it. They changed it.
FDA is involved in a process that takes time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, this is why I want to bring this up here. Dr. Marty McCurry urges patients. After disclosing he was aware of the research indicating vaccines may cause immune system deregulation and described database with self-reported adverse events as inadequate. This is what he says. You listen to this. I don't want people to think that we're blowing off the safety signal that many people described. He goes on to say here, I personally, listen how he gaslights everybody. He builds a rapport with people who've had injuries. I personally know people who've been injured by the vaccine. I personally know people who've lost a loved one from the RNA COVID vaccine.
He's admitting this.
Listen to this. So I think it's reasonable this time to say we want good, solid, definitive data in the conditional limited approval of COVID vaccines as that framework that we want to see a proper data set come to us and we take a good look at
it's
all the data.
Lies.
We have the data. We have 5 years of data. It's all right in front of us. You look at the research studies. You look at the clinical trials. You look at all the side effects. You look at the fact that they had to put myocarditis and pericarditis as a very known common side effect on young boys from teenage years to 25 years old on the insert sheet on the current COVID shot. It is a known side effect. Pericarditis, myocarditis, massive inflammation of the heart, heart attacks, blood clots. We know it's there. The data is there. So, again, the reason why I brought this up is he builds a rapport. I understand. I've had loved ones, too, that have been injured. I understand how you feel. But we've got to look at the data. Doesn't that sound like Fauci?
No, you know what makes me sick with this? I mean, years ago, it was either the FDA or the CDC. And they had conclusive evidence that the MMR shot massively increased
yes,
the risk.
The CDC.
They massively reduced it, increased the risks of black boys coming down with autism.
Yep.
I mean, it was conclusive. You know what they did? They had a data burning party.
Burn bag.
Burn bags.
Yep.
They lit them up. They burn all. They shred
it. This is a burn bag. Everything goes in the bag.
It reminds me of that movie with Tom Cruise with the CIA.
Oh, yeah, American Made.
And Barry Seals.
He's the same thing in that movie.
He goes into the office and he goes, everything about this, everything Barry Seals, everything about me in Arkansas.
Receipts,
everything.
Invoices, anything with his name or tied to him goes in a burn bag.
It's going to be destroyed. And they did.
And that's exactly what they're doing here now. So now they're saying, oh, the data, we got to look at the data. Remember how Fauci, we've got to look at the numbers. 14 days to flatten the curve. We got to follow the data, guys. If you follow the data, we'll get through this together. They build rapport. They try to have something that they can relate to you on. Then they sit there and gaslight you and say, well, you want all the data, right?
This is neuro-linguistic programming.
Exactly what it is. I want to cover that to give you guys a heads up so you understand what you're being exposed to so you can call it out better and you don't fall prey to the psychological warfare that they push on everybody.
We got
to
cover this. I normally wouldn't cover this, but it's the year of the flood. There's been a dozen thousand-year floods in 3 days, basically all over the United States, New York
too.
And Jersey. 2025 has turned into one of a year that has been fulfilled with chaotic natural disasters. In particular, we've been hammered by one major flooding event after another in recent weeks. A couple of days ago, I wrote about the thousand-year storms that hit Texas and North Carolina. And, you know, here's the thing. Ask yourself a question. We've got a problem with thousand-year storms hitting.
Yeah.
Okay? So in the event that this whole thing blows up in their face with geoengineering,
and
the geoengineering probably caused these thousand-year storms, they can spin this now, listen to me, and say, we have to have geoengineering so we can prevent more of these storms.
There you go. Problem, action, solution.
We've got to be able to control Mother Nature. That's why we're doing this. We're trying to stop these storms instead of causing them. They've been doing this stuff for the past 60, 70, 80 years. This is not new technology. It's been going on. Now, the HAARP stuff's pretty new, but now they have even more. They've got the sea-based radar systems. They've got all kinds of other things they can use. I've done entire shows on this, and that's why I want to go into it. It says, but in 2025, it feels like the entire country is getting deluged. A thousand-year flood is supposed to be rare, but we just witnessed a three-day period with Texas and North Carolina both experienced multiple thousand-year floods. More than a dozen thousand-year floods in just 3 days. That even stunned even veteran meteorologists from Texas and North Carolina, and entire communities were swamped by what should have been a once-in-a-lifetime event. But experts say these floods are no longer freak accidents. They are a symptom of a much bigger shift. The thousand-year flood does not mean that it happens only 1,000 years. It means there's a 1 in 1,000 chance that kind of painful rainfall rate will happen in any given years. But rare is certainly not impossible. So now they want to blame it on, here we go, global warming.
There you go.
Okay? And you know,
more taxes.
Well, if you pay
more taxes, guys, and this is the problem. The peasants aren't, you guys, we're not paying enough taxes. If we pay more taxes, global warming will stop. Because, you know, they know what's best for us. So you need another tax. You need another 40% tax.
All of these tariffs are making us pay more taxes.
Yeah, that's inflation going up again now, too. So inflationary rate's going up. Everybody goes, oh. The thing is, yes, we needed to have tariff systems with China because we were getting the crap out of the deal with that.
They needed that 40, 50 years ago when we gave them the most
stake. That's exactly right. This whole thing that's happened now needed to be done. I told you guys that months ago. It's had to be done. The issue is it was done in such a knee-jerk reaction. Trump comes out with this giant kill list as far as every single country's getting tariff tax. And, I mean, at the end of the day, this needed to be done, but it's gonna change the entire fabric of the economy, especially over the next couple of years, because stuff is going to get more expensive because a lot of the cost is being transferred onto the consumer now, especially when you start having these massive swings. See, you know, a lot of manufacturers, I know this, if I get like a 5 or 10% price increase, you guys don't ever see it. You never, I feel it. I eat it. You know, I bridge around that. Also, if I have a manufacturer come in and say, oh, by the way, you're getting a 50% price increase, I can't eat that. I'll go out of business. I got to pass some of the cost on to the customer.
Well, we deal with a gross profit margin of about 30% before overhead.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's about 30%.
And then we got to take salaries. We got to take taxes.
Insurance. Keep the inventory up. Because that's what a lot of people don't understand. When the supplement industry, it's not like I just go in, okay, I buy this product, I can resell it. You got to buy numerous, enormous amounts of pallets of certain products, and you got to sit on them for 5, 6, 7 months at a time. People understand a business called inventory carrying cost. You type all this cash and product that's sitting there that then you have to float out. And so then what happens is you got to order more before you run out.
Well, and what happens, what you don't realize is that the manufacturers of the product that you're using, they won't ship or release the product until you pay for it in full.
That's exactly right. They don't float you on big contracts. You got to pay for it. It's got to be done because
they don't want to get burned.
They don't want to get burned, and so that's why we do our best to bring you guys the best prices with the highest quality supplements. You can go buy some cheap stuff from Walmart. I'm not going to claim you can't go buy some straight garbage for $5 a bottle at Walmart. You can go buy some stuff at Sam's Club. I mean, I saw these giant bottles. I saw giant bottles of CoQ10, bright red CoQ10, like $19.99. Huge bottle of CoQ10. Picked it up. First ingredient on other ingredients, red 40. Why do you have to put red 40 in CoQ10? It's naturally red. Well, that's because they're getting CoQ10 out of China. It all came out of China.
It's all synthetic.
It's all synthetic. they get these raw powders, they mix them up in a batch, they encapsulate them, and they send them over in these giant drums, and they bottle them here in the U.S.
And they throw a bunch of Red 40s in them.
They throw a bunch of Red 40 in them. And they're like, man, I don't know why I feel so horrible on CoQ10. CoQ10 should have a notable effect on your cardiovascular system. You should feel good on it. It should give you more energy. It's really good for the cardiovascular system. So if you're taking stuff and you don't feel good on it or it's not making a difference, it's probably because it's crap.
Oh, by the way, USAID officially shuts down.
I saw that.
Whoa. And no one is dying.
Ding dong.
I'm happy. I remember when Rich Bader Ginsburg died, I played the song from The Wizard of Oz. Ding dong, the witch is gone, the witch kid witch, that mean old witch. Remember that? I played it. Here's how I started the show that day. I said, there was a giant wave in the lake of fire and hell this morning. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, touchdown.
She was such a staunch proponent for abortion.
Oh, my gosh.
She wanted full-term abortion. She pushed that crap. I mean, she was gleeful about it. Oh, she loved getting that stuff passed.
Oh, by the way, USAID is gone and not missed by anyone, and no one is dying. 98% of the workers who were in the U.S. pushing paper around, over 100 of them were subordinate or interfered with disobeyed executive orders, and now they're gone. They're done. Terrorists won't get their funds, which USAID generously gave them. No more viral samples to Wuhan without official permission. Iraq won't get Sesame Street. And who can forget the four USAIDers who stole $550 million? And let's not forget about the pornography, transgender comic books.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about those.
But these terrorists aren't totally gone. They've formed a counterterrorism group to take down the administration, and they're open about it. The employees, who are very entitled, made useless in the climate of political chicanery. No one has died because they are gone and no one will die. The important pieces of the 264 people were absorbed into the State Department. How about that?
Imagine awesome. That.
They're still there. They didn't lose their jobs.
Gosh.
The USAID workers cry as they leave their workplaces for another workplace with the government into the State Department. And so it's not going to stop. Having dealt with the USAID in the U.S. state, I can tell you it's the best thing for our country to get rid of them. We used to do security for the U.S. state and USAID overseas in several war zones, and I've never met a bigger, self-entitled group of people who think so much of themselves without warrant as these clowns. No expense was spared to build posh residences for them, and the food they ate was five-star, always imported from the best places. They were huffing their own belief that they were important and the work they did was critical and life-saving. And particularly, my company was providing security in Baghdad in 2005 for the U.S. State Department personnel and USAID, and we had not eaten in 2 days due to the U.S. State Department's schedule and not being able to make it to our designated place to eat. I asked the leader of the State Department and USAID if we could eat at the U.S. State dining facility. We were told we were not allowed to eat in their dining facilities. I said, okay. Then when we leave here and drive an hour and a half to a dining facility to eat and come back the next day because we had orders not to travel after dark in those areas. That's how much. He goes, this is funny. He goes, I'm quoting him. Everything you see in the movie 13 Hours is true. The U.S. State Department is filled with useless entitled pricks.
Exactly right.
He says, useless entitled pricks that do not warrant their own self-importance. The truth be known, I saw so much grift and theft, and then I reported it. I was the one who came under scrutiny, and I was attacked. So I sit here with glee watching these people get bounced. They will never find jobs at that overinflated pay again, and it's going to be difficult for them to be an average person now. Wow. Kind of says what I said. This is great.
Yeah. No, it had to be done. And I know Jeff used to do contracts with GRS, and he said the same thing. He said they're so stinking entitled trying to deal with them. He said they're a nightmare to deal with. You can't get anything done.
Well, because they got hundreds of billions of dollars given to them every
year. That's exactly right.
So they were the keepers of the checkbook.
Yeah, they go, you're hired help here. You're security here. Do your job until they get under fire. Then all of a sudden, where are you guys at? Where's our quick reaction force?
Hours.
Yep. So, guys,
remember, they wouldn't let the good troops go and help the ambassador's
no.
because it was that was
they
the
finally
goal
made
of the
that call. They overrode the CIA team leader there. But so, guys, thank you for staying with us all the time. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for keeping your body healthy. The mood booster stack, we put this together a while back ago, and it's been one of the
key that's amazing one
supplement. If you're trying to get into something in a budget to really get your serotonin, your mood, your energy up without breaking the bank, B-Complex, 5-HTP, and Ultra Omega 3.
Which we mentioned earlier.
This stack hits. And I've had this out for years now. It's on sale again. So be sure, if that's something you're fighting with, you're dealing with, talk to somebody if you're not feeling good, if you're down, if you're having problems.
Very important.
Talk to somebody. Get help if you need it. Call us if you need any supplemental advice. We're here for you. If you guys need anything, also, you voted. Ultimate Multiple Capsules.
Oh, perfect.
Perfect on that one. On sale product of the week. That'll be changing later on this afternoon. One of your favorites. Thank you guys for the support. I appreciate y'all. Talk to you on the show tomorrow as always.
Always remember, we're not perfect. We all make mistakes, including me and Austin. But we want you to know something. We love you. I pray for you all the time. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your support. You guys are absolutely amazing. And if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. Thanks again for helping us to be here. I love you guys.
Thank y'all.